that you are going to have, but of course depending what the managers are going to say to us. And I just want, just before I speak about apologies and everything, I just want to indicate to the provincial managers of Home Affairs, we do have Sembandiwan, I'm sure you know him, all of you. I hope you know him. And then he's almost the most serious link between Home Affairs and us. Serious link. And then you have got Andre at the end there. I'm sure you know him as well. Do you all know Andre? Those that don't know him, they can raise their hands. Those that don't know Andre, go. Okay, if you know him as well, he is also a serious link between Home Affairs and ourselves, between the ministries, the ministers, and then ourselves. And why I'm saying that is because if there is information that you want the committee to know, protocol will tell you to go first, go to Pretoria, or go to an office up there, level 19, or whatever.
The eighth floor.
Protocol will say that. But if you believe that there is any information that I must know that, and then if you speak to both, they'll quickly get asked to us. And they'll be able to be aware. I definitely want to know about the service delivery. Not wait for 3 months to hear that there is a service delivery that has been done in your province. And then if there is a service delivery that has been done, and then we should know, then you must brief us. Because if you go through your protocol, of course, you must still could do that, but we are going to get it after 3 months. You see, when they come and they give us their contact report. And but you need to be upbeat what is happening in the areas in terms of safe delivery. Not the squabbles of fighting in offices, no. Not interested in that. Safe delivery. And then the other thing is, today we are having you here. We have the two impimpies of the department. But unfortunately, I want you to be honest. Honest in reporting and objective. Don't transform yourself into a spin-off. God. Honest reporting, we just want to know the truth for us to be able to assist the Department of Home Affairs in delivering services to our people. And if we don't know the truth, then the manner in which you are going to assist them, then we will be crooked as well. It will not be beneficial to anybody. Therefore, we just need the honest truth. And it is only when we know the correct information that we can correctly assist Home Affairs and eventually assist yourself there on the ground. We do know that you've got problems of uniforms, you've got problems of immigration sectors, then troubles with cleaners in the offices, then you have got trouble with officers that are corrupt. We do know to a certain extent. We do know to a certain extent. And then it's a couple of things that we know, but we need to package them provisionally so that we are able to take decisions that are correct, appropriate to specific provinces, and not generalize. And I think on that note, I'll just simply try to break the ground. Welcome, honorable members, and all our invited officers for the Department of Home Affairs. the department will not be able to deliver services without yourself. And it is only through yourself that the department can deliver services. It is only through the department that President Zuma can deliver services to people. So it's a chain. And we're trying to make sure that nobody breaks the chain until the service is at the bottom. And we have received two apologies from Honorable Komo and Honorable Melder. And then that means we will still be awaiting Honorable Melder from the EFF, I think. Because there's no apology, that means we did. Okay. Okay. But it's fine. But because there's no apology, I'm still expecting a repeater. And then. Right. And then, honorable members, I think we can go straight to the briefing from Limpopo. There was a presentation that was prepared to ourselves called from Limpopo, but it looks like overnight there was some spin doctor who actually worked on the presentation and make it look good. So there is a new copy now of the presentation, and then but don't forget to explain to us where you have changed things from the presentation we had before. Maybe just try and explain with why you have changed, because we have both copies, and we just need to know whether you have forgotten information or whether somebody just misrepresented facts. Thank you very much. I think you can take us on from Limpopo.
Thank you, sir. My name is Michelisen Mutsik. I can see the floor there. I'm the commercial manager of Limpopo since 2011. Chair, the presentation was amended, I think it's the last few pages. We needed to add our offices. That is say, I think it's slide 879. Where I say the good, the bad, and the ugly of Limpopo offices. I felt that I'm duty bound to disclose the nature of our offices, the status, what we have improved, what needs to be improved, and what has happened to date, to an extent that the last night is about Fitako, one office, an office which was demolished, and a tender was given, and unfortunately the person who built the office didn't own the land. So that is the ugliness of our offices in Limpopo. So those few slides, just our offices, to show that even if we say we modernize, we can do better in some instances. Like Bulukwan. Bulukwan is supposed to be our flagship, but Mustina is my flagship at the moment. I go through the presentation slide by slide, but in some instances, it's information that we know. Slide 2 is about just the index, and slide 4 is a demographic in Limpopo. Limpopo is bordered by three countries. Botswana to the west, Zimbabwe to the north, and Mozambique. The area is 10% of South African land. It has a population of 5.4 million, which has increased in 2015 to 5.6 million. That is the next provincial demographic. That's given the district. We have five districts: Capricorn, Mopani, Sekhukhune, Verde, and Waterberg. As you can see, from 2011, we had the breakdown of the population per district, and the population, as I said, increased to 5.630, and we occupy 10%, population is 10% of South African population, but I don't have breakdowns regarding the 2014 statistics. And that is the map showing our 9 ports of entry. One is an airport, 9 ports of entry, including Bay Bridge in Limpopo. And these borders, they go through Botswana, Mozambique, and Zimbabwe. And we have five large offices in each district. And that is our slide 7. It's our structure. And we have five directors. that are heading their district. Katikon district is headed by Mrs. Eunice Kanga, Mopani by Mrs. Dolin Kwana, Skukuni Mrs. Saraki. Vembe district, I had a Mr. Mukwebo. He has since resigned. So since the 1st of May, we don't have a DMO, a district manager operations in Vembe district. And the post was advertised, shortlisting has taken place, and interviews are due to happen. In Waterbeck, we have Mrs. Machaba, and we also have Director Finance, and the Provincial Manager myself, which was in the city. From this fact, you can see, out of 7 SMS members, 5 of them, it's women. So we are well presented as women at SMS level. The director, Mr. Mukwevo, has resigned. I had recommended a deputy director in Toyando to be the acting MO. However, due to the fact that he has applied for various posts in the department in Western Cape in Mpumalanga, he couldn't be appointed. The advice was, I can't appoint you to act in that post because I'm raising expectations. Unfortunately, we had to opt for another person to act. So far, the person who has been coordinating, not really managing, is the person in the director's office, the coordinator, district coordinator, Mr. Tabraninda. And from the slide, you can see in Capricorn, I have 10 offices with 4 mobiles and 1 port of entry. And in Mobani, I have 8 offices with 3 mobiles and 1 port of entry, that is Kirion. And then in Kusikukuni, I only have 6 offices without any port of entry and 3 mobile offices. And in Vembe, which is the biggest and the most challenging of the districts, I have 13 offices, 4 mobiles, I have a refugee center, and I have 3 ports of entry. And in Waterbeck district, I have 6 offices and 4 ports of entry. And the director of finance is based in the provincial office, and he has finance, he has HR and all the sub-directors in HR and finance, and counter-corruption, sub-director investigations, security services. It also reports direct to him in the provincial office. As the slide of change, as the chairperson has said, there is a decision that was taken from the 1st of April that the all ports of entry no longer report to the province. They report to director, chief director, port control at headquarters. This decision was also taken regarding refugee centers. They no longer report to the province. In fact, the circular that was circulated was saying all functions and responsibilities relating to ports of entry and to refugee centers have now been relocated to head office, to those chief directors that I've mentioned. So as you can see that they are in orange and red, and the Vembe is vacant, that's the sole area in regarding our structure. And this is just more information regarding the structure that I've shown in slide 7. So I'm not going to talk to the slide. It specifies the offices. And what I need to say here, I have offices in all the local municipalities except in Aranang. That's where I need an office. It's critical that we have representation in Aranang local municipality. And we can also go to Sikukuni. I have offices in all local municipalities except in Ifrai Mokale. In Elias Mutuale, and that's where we're supposed to be building an office. We don't have representation. Those are the footprint at hospitals. We have 46 hospitals that are connected. Yes, we have 46 of hospitals that are connected. We have only 8 staff members that are permanently based in the hospitals. And from the 8, we only have 2 vacant and funded posts. All 36 hospitals do not have warm bodies. They are not on the structure, they are not funded. Even if we want to reprioritize, we can't reprioritize. So this is a structure that needs to be looked into, because as we say best, it's entry to our national population register. The focus needs to be at hospitals coming up with a strategy, real strategy of making sure that we are able to capture best at hospitals. As you look at the statistics from Home Affairs and Health, you'll find that we are not capturing as much as Department of Health is producing. It's because we are there from 7 until about 4. There's no class 4 until the next day. There's no presentation in the hospital. Some districts have decided to rotate. You can't place a person in dry water bed. The officer will spend 2 hours in this hospital, 2 hours, but that's only 2 hours, and she is not there. We are missing out on the numbers. Now we have come up with a strategy of making sure that we follow up on deaths that happened in the during our absence. These are our mobile offices. That's the part that is red. All mobile offices are functional. They have capacity. We have appointed except the mobile in Capricorn, which is vacant. The posts were just unfunded. 1 minute there were funds, there was a person occupying the post. We promoted the person, and later when we wanted to appoint, the post was unfunded. Those are mobile offices, existing mobile offices, as I mentioned. And this is our footprint. In Polokwane, it's the number of, when it comes to smart ID, it's the number of FLOs, it's our performance, and we have achieved. Quarter one, our target was to print, to issue 62,160 smart IDs. We have done 6508. However, I need to highlight, we have a challenge in the parallel, where we can meet our target. We are supposed to do 3,160, we did 3047. And in Iyane, we also have a challenge. We are supposed to do 5040, we do 4542. And Polokanabora, 5040-2608. And Musina, 1680-990. These are the targets as per prevention to this business plan. We have to achieve in terms of deaths. The province, the target was 21,708. Headquarters keeps statistics from the system. And as a province, we have our own manual statistics. So if you see the province, we are saying we have evidence that we have registered 23,673 deaths. However, the system, the information that is given to us from the system itself, we have 22,570. We need to highlight as a province that we have our statistics that where we have evidence that we can produce to show that we have done more than the 22, but the system says something else. With regard to smart ID, we're supposed to do 60,480. We've done 66,000. We have received 66,624 applications. And cards that were issued to the province is 67,286. And there's a difference between receiving applications because this it is within our power to make sure that we get applicants to come and apply for smart ID. When it comes to issuance, it's because it goes to head office and it's upon them to make sure that they assist us to reach our target by producing the smart ID, because what is important here is for the client to get the card on hand. An outreach program, we had an outreach program, LRB, Late Registration of Birth program, that was initiated at head office. They spent 10 days in the province, in all the districts. Three provinces are supporting Limpopo, and Limpopo will also be supporting the other provinces. So there are areas, 144 areas were visited, we have achieved this. There are photos. Those photos are there to show what we have done, the launching in Tohoyando, who attended, etc. And then we have a toolkit. A toolkit is used to make sure that whatever needs to be done on a day-to-day basis is done in an office. I said to the DMOs, most offices do not have 100% what is contained in the toolkit. Let's say, for instance, you don't have a photocopier. And in terms of the protocol, we have to make sure that the systems are maintained, they are switched on. In that case, each and every district, each and every office manager, each and every officer have looked in the toolkit and identified areas that are applicable to them and made those areas their 100%. They must achieve those things. So if one thing, if you don't have a photocopier, you cannot use it, just not relevant. So we didn't apply the toolkit as one size fits all. Each district decided to look into it and then make sure that they identify the areas that are relevant. To an extent that we have managed to implement the toolkit for a mobile office, for a health facility. So if you need signage for a health facility, it must be there. It's one of their targets that they must make sure that they achieve. Service standards for resolution of complaints, and this was not achieved. There are many reasons that you see as I go along the presentation. We receive these complaints through various channels. Most complaints are dependent on head office resolving duplicate, unabridged birth certificates, amendments, and issuance of identity documents. There is no standard system to record complaints for the whole department. As I said, I am receiving complaints as it is. My office is receiving complaints. Some are coming through ministry, some are coming through coordination, some is email, some is media, and it's walk-ins or people coming from the office coming to the provincial office. But for those that we receive in my office, on my phone, by email, we have a compiled register, and we make sure that we resolve them within a certain period. We have even made sure that we classify those cases, because in some instances it will be an office that is not open. That case you can resolve immediately. In some instances you have duplicate a person with two ID numbers. You know that it's going to take long. So we are not saying that we're going to resolve it immediately. We have given ourselves it's immediately a day or 3 days, 5 days. It depends on the nature of the complaints that you are addressing. Yes, SA learners of African learners 15 years and above issued IDs in the province, application collected, taken at school and delivered. We have achieved this 100%. Smart ID cards issued 9,263, green barcode IDs issued 1,005. I need to mention in that slide that learners are no longer interested in applying for green ID books. So for a smart ID, you have to come and apply in the office. That has been a challenge. However, I have mentioned in rural areas, in areas where we don't have offices, we still need use our mobile to reach out to those students to make sure that they apply. And those are the applications that we have issued for the first quarter. Schools visited in province to collect ID applications. Again, it is a decision that because students now are interested in applying for smart ID, they don't want a green ID book. We simply decided that we are not going to stop because there may be others that cannot really come to our offices. So as you can see, the numbers in Capricorn, we had 76, Waterloo 28, Sikkimi 62, Mopane 32, and Zembe. All in all, it's 226 applications that were collected and delivered at schools. Undocumented workers deported within 30 days. It's 679 deported we have achieved. This target, it has impacted negatively on other functions by inspectorate. I will explain as we go along the presentation. Although the target was achieved, other IMS processes are compromised due to recent introduced long-winded immigration processes. A large number of IMS officers are confined in offices to process documentation, thereby failing to conduct inspection investigations and operations. A total number of 8 officers in a province are involved in processing 1 deportation case before referral to head office. Deportation section for approval. Election of deportation process is like it starts at office level with immigration officer. It goes to chief immigration officer. It gets to home head of IMS at ASD level and to the head of office. Then head of office will send it to the DMO office, to the DMO coordinator, and the DMO will send it to the provincial coordinator to the provincial manager before it can go out. As I'm sitting here, all these submissions are coming through my phone. I have to make sure that I support before they can send them to HOTS. So the process has affected a whole lot of our processes when it comes to immigration. Unwarranted good cause cases that are referred by DSS company to provincial manager. We have, once we get those good cause cases, we have to refer them to immigration in the offices to go and do an investigation. What happens is, a person will apply for a permit, the person is late, and the person is referred to us to come and tell us why he is late. We don't have a file for that person. We have to get a story from this person, and obviously it will be a sad story. But we need to verify, and we only have 10 days to make sure that we verify that this person is telling the truth and we can give him a letter to proceed and apply for permit. So this has affected how immigration functions in the province. Deportation at Lindela, slide 26. We have achieved, but the same negative impact regarding inspectorate is happening here. Number of employer charges, these are the inspectorate functions that were impacted upon negatively by the deportation process. We're supposed to prosecute 40 employers in the province. However, we only did 12. We didn't achieve. Most workplaces are always locked behind inspectorate access, especially farms. IMS officers are confined in offices to process documentation on a daily basis. IMS officers investigate good cause cases referred by VFS. And this is a slide that has changed because we didn't elaborate on things that have made us not to achieve. Transfer charge in terms of Immigration Act. 936, we have done 1013. Most cases involve undocumented persons that are charged for certain deported. Mopan, Sikukuni, and Otabek courts are willing to hear immigration cases. However, Vembe and Sikukuni courts are reluctant to prosecute due to a number of undocumented foreigners that are arrested daily by police and immigration officers. Fraudulent marriage is a marriage of convenience basis. We have achieved it one. In this case, when we talk about fraudulent marriage, we talk about marriages where a person comes to apply for a birth certificate and finds on the system that he or she is married to another person that is unknown to him. There are other fraudulent cases where marriage is of convenience or rent-wise. Those cases, we are unable to get involved in an investigation. They are the investigation and inspection is affected by officers being bound in offices doing paperwork instead of going and checking at night whether people are delivering fraudulent or not. 75% of assistance leaders destination. This is an refugee affairs target. Although they are not reporting to the province, we are still making sure that we support them. Since 1 April 2015, all refugee centers are reporting directly to the Chief Director of Asylum Seeker Management. The budget for the RRP is, however, still in the province. There are plans to request budget to ASM. The province works in cooperation with ASM management on budget issues. That's achieved. Number of inspections of businesses not achieved, 307, only 256. Long-winded immigration paperwork process compels immigration to be office-bound, thereby causing capacity constraints. IMS capacity per district, 21 in Capricorn. That is Capricorn as a whole. Water, I only have 14. Sikukuni, I have 14. Mopani, I have 18. Bembe, I have 29. This capacity, it has to look into issues of immigration, especially when the way you know that you have paperage. And that is an entry point for anyone that is coming to the issues that you see in Western Cape, in Cape, and in Mararagat. Most of them, they come through, but they don't even use our asylum seeker center for registration. They prefer to come to Cape Town or to KZN or to Gauteng. Hotel inspections, we didn't achieve 88, we only did 77. Long-winded immigration, however, is a factor. General inspections, we didn't achieve 247, we only did 2 confinement immigration officers in the office. Valid invoices settled within 30 days of certification of invoices. We're supposed to do 100%, we did 100%. 378 invoices were paid in quarter 1. All invoices were paid within 30 days. The lowest invoice amount was 34,070 paid to Walton and 68,488 to travel with Flair. The average payment date to supplier is 9 days in the province. One person has full IDs. This is another area where we say, yes, we have complaints in the province. We didn't achieve, but these are the problems. In Capricorn, we have 64 cases. Finalized 2. Waterbeck 33. Finalized 1. Sikukuni 0. Opani 93. Finalized 0. Then the 47, 0. All these cases were referred to head office. We are still awaiting them. And this affects our target in achieving in the complaints that come to our office. Multiple person sharing. Same ID number. We have 42 in total in all those districts. Cases finalized is 0. All these cases are referred to head office. Operation Fiela. This is, it has been happening. And I need to mention, when this happened, 3 minors were arrested by Bantuan SIPS without immigration. And they appeared before court. And when we heard this, immigration was dispatched to go and see where those minors are, and they were not in prison. And according to the police, they were handed over to a bit of safety. So those minors were never kept in custody. But this arrest was done without involvement of immigration. I'm going to speak to Mr. Mataya. I will do his slides on finance and support. However, I need to go to the slide 50. This is just a slide on our LRB campaign, which started in Zambia. went to Mobani, Capricorn, Kipukuni, and I think these are franchise various provinces in the province. So this is when we launched and then started serving people. Those are the hitters. And then slide 65, slide 80. This is my sore point in Limpopo. This is a slide where I say the good, the bad, and the ugly of Limpopo. I have an office, Limpopo office, which is supposed to be my flagship. This office is based where our government of Limpopo sits. This is the queue. The waiting area, yes, it has been modernized, but at the same, it has limited space. People are still queuing outside. It is always overcrowded. People demand our services. We are unable to service people in Bulawayo. And those are the queues and our area. So we have requested, we have submitted need assessment to relocate this office. In the preference was that we have to get a building since 2011. Need assessment is submitted. Everything is done. But we don't get any feedback from CPW. This is the Bohomo. I'm saying it's the best. The process flow is smooth. The space is there, but it's the process flow. You move from one building to the next building to get one service. ID is right, and others another service gets another building. It's just if there is willingness in making sure that the process can flow within using the structure infrastructure at the Wakomo, this office can work. This is where the waiting area, as you can see, is not user friendly. It's not user-friendly, the counters are there, there is modernization, but I think we can still do better. Mugopani, it's small. This is the large office in Waterbeck. It's crowded, always busy. The GMO sits there. She shares the office with the coordinator secretary in one office. So it's the issue of food. It's one of our best offices. And we have submitted these assessments. The workplace that was identified, and the process with CPW has changed has been still. Nevertheless, this can improve. It has been refurbished, but still, it can improve, that's what I can say. At this point, the space is still limited. Same as this is a good office. It can also improve because we need spacing, but for now, we can hold and render services comfortably in this office. As you can see, it becomes problems dull. It can improve as well. It becomes crowded, but at least you can live with this topic. This is Diani, it's comfortable. Ranimi, it's comfortable. Kalabora, they need more space, but it's comfortable. Majority is not too small, and unfortunately we can't do anything. We understand that it's a national key point. There's nothing that we can do, we just have to relocate. Musina is our flagship post. It's the most beautiful office in Bulawayo at the moment. We will be moving to Mokopong office, and it's going to be the flagship, I think, because as we get more offices and we make sure that they have their home address, we can get, and they are becoming better, and we are getting more space. That is the Musina office. Everyone is small. Toyando is enough, is sufficient. Makado sufficient is also refurbished. Sanani is small. Fitakom, this is where we had funds. We acquired office space. Tender was issued, it was given to a bidder. And when the office was halfway through, it was discovered that the dealer doesn't own this land. And there were negotiations between the service provider and municipality, and it seemed like things didn't go well and the office was demolished. So the sole point in Limpopo is about offices, it's about accessibility, giving access to our people, especially Sikukuni. They travel too far. I have a GMO who has taken lines to her home to ensure that they sleep in a house so that following morning they can wake up and go to the office and apply for smart ID. And if we are talking about 6 years old and above, we have cases in Makado where we have taken our clients to police station so that they can be safe because we don't want to go back home. Okay, and thank you.
Are you saying that we want to speak to the issue of staff?
We have a total of 918. We have a total of 914 employees in Limpopo. 8 of them are disabled, female is 493, and then with males we have 417, and then 8 of them are disabled. And then provisional capacity, filled and vacant funded posts. In PM office, vacancy rate is 12. We only have 4 posts that are vacant and funded. Capricorn, 93. Posts are, it's the vacancy rate. Yeah? And then vacant and funded is 11 posts. Mopane, 6. Vacant and funded. Sikukun, all in all, the total is 58. The vacancy rate is below 10% is 6%. The disability target is 2%. At the moment, we have IMAS 7 posts per district. 1 post, PM's office, Capricorn is 1 post, and Mopane is 1 post, Zembe is 4 posts. Okay. Those are the posts, the address that were issued is 17 posts all in all. And the number of staff assuming duty on the 1st of April, May, and then June. And then those are the posts that are identified per district and per office and the level of the posts. The total of 27 posts are filled in the first quarter. They were advertised, shortlisted and interviewed in 2014, 15 and financial year and filled in the first quarter of 2016. Performance management. PMDF conducted 2013 100%, 2014 1500%. Our PMDF was affected in the first quarter because of the secular. That was issued that now, as from now on, all ports are reporting to head office, issued directly to port control, and then the responsibility affairs, they report to asylum seeker management. The total 130 personal agreements for base special offences were submitted to chief directly port control, hence they could not be captured in the province. 3 permanent agreements for one office could not be submitted due to the 3 officials being on suspension. These are 3 officials that are suspended because of the Samosi case. Revenue collection to the municipality. They were recharged again on 17th of 2015. and the province is awaiting the final outcome on the matter. This is the latest report back that I got yesterday. The sanction is dismissal 1, warning 0, suspension without salary 1. How would the other number, I'm giving you a hearing, how would you give me another side a hearing? Corruption and security services. We have 4 cases, hearing has 0 outcomes, 0 challenges. There is only one appointed counter-corruption unit manager in the province. The function is largely centralized and all funds are submitted to head of CC or counter-corruption unit and security secretary head office. We can return matter to counter-corruption, but they will push to head office due to the sensitive nature and sensitive nature of their work. Programs, then banking, centralized and head office, no duty officer in the province priority. At the moment, our priority in the province is to make sure that we give our security efficient function of the security committee and possible reprioritization of managers' posts in the security unit. Relocation of senior security officers level 8 to the 5 district. According to our structure, all the senior security officers are located in the provincial manager's office, and these officers are mostly leaders in the district. So we have reprioritized and requested permission to relocate those posts to the district managers of operation so that they can have that security. At the moment, the only person that we have dealing with security is level 8, he is responsible for the entire security of the province. However, negotiations are underway to find the deputy director security for the province because of security. We have decided that we are not going to look into physical security, document security, system security, etc. Staff engagement. Management interacting with staff. The province interacts with staff through the following: youth forum, provincial development forum, men's and women's health forum, provincial consultation forum, external management meetings, provincial expo meetings, district management meetings, monthly office staff meetings, IT steering committee, changer program, attendance of the DMs, DMOs, and data finance on a professional basis. Staff development. We have managed to train 100 males and 134 females in all in DK induction, diamond release training, induction and training, release training and support, and DK modernization. And then that is the staff development in terms of management of this. Yes, we have achieved this one. We are performing very well. Except for those in 2 pillar cases, applications are submitted to office by head office, and we are awaiting approval. And cash in transfer. I leave it to the director and talk about finances.
Yeah,
thanks. First, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, colleagues. I'll start in cash in transit. The service provider constructors basically to take our money from offices to the bank. We started in 21 offices in the province. The frequency of that has been 5 days a week from Monday to Friday. Then what I would do, members, with the finish, I'll go to slide finances. Then after this, I'll go along with the assets. And I hope by then we'll be done. In terms of the resources to support the province to achieve its objective, we are on slide 45. Let's summarize the resources, the budget. The conversion of employee was 237 million. On goods and services was 21,566. The travel subsidy 22. To buy for assets or machinery was 19,000. Currently, in total of that, 259 million. Of that, we have spent 65,130,000, and we have committed. I mean, we have issued orders to prospective provider amounting to 1,385,000. Of that, up to June, we have spent 25.63%. While in terms of the norms, we have spent 25%. It is we are slightly above the norm, which is much acceptable. The projected we spend until the end of the year is 192,916. We don't expect a shortfall as such, hence we understand those threat measures in place. In terms of revenue collectivity, collection per municipality capital district, we collected 2,158,000 and Mopane 1,564,000, Kukun 1,129,000, in Water 33 is 1,428,000, in Rwanda 2,128,000 in total. We collected 8,509,435. In terms of lead management, support the province to achieve its objectives, writers in the province were 123. Of that, the new writer for the recording parole impressions, there's none except we just only replaced one. Number of writers which are equal function, because we may see the numbers are 133, but of course which one are still in good condition. 118 are functional. The writer which has more than 8 with 3 of them. Okay. In terms of mobile offices, both have troubled us. We say we're 16 in total. In terms of asset management, the province was On asset management, you have 15,823 assets. There's no additional assets that were procured. In terms of finance, lease assets is 71. Of those that are not actually verified, you have 84. In terms of audit information, there's nothing. Okay, the AG did manage to audit our province, and the findings were none. Okay, and then other that the province does not maintain its asset register, asset is verified on a biannual basis. Currently, we are doing physical verification, and when assets are moved from one office to another, the asset movement form is currently checked. Okay, and if the additional asset register function gets reported to head office, asset management directorate, we are currently with the identification of asset disposal so that we can dispose of before the end of the year. That is the relation of the two. Thank you.
You are done. Honorable members, I think we have heard the voting. There are a couple of things that have not spoken. And, they haven't spoken to the challenges of fraud and corruption as a similar or big breach. There are five. And then service delivery, not necessarily that important thing is that you have dismissed some board or not dismissed some. The impact of the in the specific office, especially in the basically, you've got your officials that are telling home affairs documents openly outside. And then we can give you the names. Honorable members, you have heard the border, you want to engage them. You should receive something as well. And command the people. I tend to be advised. And that is my.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you. Let me say I'm sorry, I was in another meeting before it came. And but on the issue, I think we've got to combine and given the amount of time that we spent on it. So I think it's better to combine.
Okay. So you can. You can find a space somewhere, then you sit and wait, and maybe you'll be looking for that vehicle that's lost. Then you find it. And, I think there was tea outside, and I'm not sure whether it has been consumed while they are still organizing their technological equipment here. you can just drop the tea there and come back and immediately when they are ready, they'll continue.
Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, I will be presenting Gauteng Province. I'm Alden Mataung, I'm the Provincial Manager for the Province of Gauteng. I'm not alone in the house. I brought along the GMO for Tswane, Ms. Lenzani. She's sitting here. I also brought along the Director of Finance, but unfortunately she got sick last night, and then she visited the doctor this morning. Honorable members will note that the Gauteng province was visited last year, and part of the plan was to visit several offices in Gauteng with the inclusion of the refugee reception offices. But then, because of some of the commitment that honorable members had, then they were recalled, and then we did not manage to visit all the offices. So I'm now going to start giving an update, honorable members, with regards to the recommendations that were made with regards to the Refugee Reception Office of Marawatas, because among the areas that were visited, head office was visited, GPW was visited, and Lindela was visited, together with the two Refugee Reception Offices in Shori. The update from myself will only cover the Refugee Reception Office because that was an area that was under my control and under my jurisdiction. When honorable members were visited the deal, which is the Tswane Interim Refugee Reception Office, there were some of the things that were picked up and recommendations were made by the honorable members. Recommendation number one, which was on 8.3 on the report that was forwarded to us, was that HA should consider the continued use of steel given the current demand, and if so, invest in improving the working conditions and consider renovating the facility. This was raised as a result of the youth space which was picked up at the center, but where most of that space was not being used. What we then did, after honorable members have made a recommendation, we decided to cut off some numbers from Marawatas on a daily basis, where we'll make an assessment in terms of how many people do we have for extensions, and then and also for services, where we will then take from 150 to 200 and make sure that those people are then moved from that open space to that area. The reason being that on that side, the queuing space outside has been a challenge, and that is why we have been indicated. And the other thing that the DD of Mobile team has identified renovations that need to take place at zero, and they are engaging property management on the matter of ensuring that the area is renovated. There was an issue that was raised by honourable members with regard to the old posters, the irrelevant posters that were within the centre, and recommendation was that they should be removed. As I'm talking now, the posters on the walls have been removed, and only the relevant ones have remained. But those that are high up on the team and cannot be removed have been referred to property management to secure a service provider to take them down, because they are very extremely high. Now, the other recommendation was that DDA should consider upgrading the computers as a matter of agency at the research center, which one of the reasons there being that the kind of system that they were using, it's one of the ones that was provided from a service provider, but what has happened thereafter was that we managed to secure funding for the procurement of the equipment, and approval was then received from ICA, which is a committee that is mainly responsible for determining what needs to be procured. And then now the office is in a process of procuring those equipment. Now, another recommendation with regard to Maraba Stars was that the EPA should make sure that the center is maintaining working conditions. And I need to indicate that because the air conditioners ever since have been repaired, and they are being repaired on a daily basis. Because of the situation, the overcrowdedness in the office are making it possible. Then what we've done is make sure that those are continuously maintained on a day-to-day basis. But what has also been done, a task team has been established also to look at the issue of Maraba Stars and make sure that the necessary renovation, including air conditioners and the terminal stations, are addressed, because now they continuously get broken because of the high impact that they are receiving. The other issue that honourable members identified was that the DHA should ensure that there is sufficient security to manage crowds at the Maraba Stars reception office, starting from outside to the inside. Now, what we have done is that we have engaged other relevant stakeholders, SAPS, CPS, and the Migrant Community Organization are assisting with the management of the issues outside the space. And the community organization were also brought in later to assist the police so that we all can own the process. Now, the other issue is that since that issue was addressed, the statistics for robberies and mugging around the area have been decreased as a result of the present stakeholder relations, because those were eminent prior to that. The private security also that has been appointed is on a daily basis monitored by our own DHA security. There was also an issue with regard to the fines. We have also ensured that there is a budget has been made available for the perimeter fines and the cameras outside, the cameras inside and outside, and the necessary technology in the control room. What we have done, they are in the process of making sure that all these are installed. What we have also done was to look for an outside assistance from SSA, and then what we have done, we have brought SSA on board so that the issues that are continuously reported with Maraba Stars on fraud and corruption, both inside and outside the offices, are profiled by SSA so that they could assist us in terms of ensuring that we scale that down. What we have also done, because of the high volumes that are coming at the center, where there was a recommendation that we need to come up with a system, there is an electronic booking system which has been developed, and that is basically going to be implemented before the end of the financial year to manage the influx that are visiting that area. And also to do away with these people that are coming at the center around 12 o'clock midnight, who are now taking the lead in terms of managing the queues. And then another recommendation which was made by honourable members was that the Department of Home Affairs should make sure that they look for a suitable space where the refugee reception office could then be moved away from where it is to that suitable space. And I need to report, honourable members, that for this financial year, what has been identified by the department as part of resolving this issue of overcrowdedness within our cities, there has been a decision to make sure that we start with one refugee reception office at Limpopo as part of relocating our refugee reception office closer to the border. The reason being that we looked at the issue to make sure that immediately when these people enter our border post, they don't have to travel for those long distances. You know, just be assisted closer to that. And the government has now prioritized Lebombo as an area where they will then be a transit facility that will be established. And the plan is to make sure that it's operational prior to the end of this financial year in terms of the plans. Those are some of the recommendations and how we have acted on the recommendation, honorable members. But now, in terms of the province, we have noted that there has been an increase in terms of the population of the province. Previously, the report that was issued by Status A for 2011, housing population was at 12,300. Now, the mid-year report that has just been released this year has increased. We noted an increase in terms of housing. Housing population now has increased to 18,230,200. It has increased from 13.2 million problem numbers. And then what we still have in Gauteng is that Gauteng has got three metropolitan municipalities, Botswana, Sekler, Johannesburg and Ekurhuleni, and we still have got two district municipalities, which is Westrand and CDB. And then we've got 11 local municipalities. The province has got a footprint of 155 servicing offices, of which servicing offices. And then we also, on these 145, 61 are offices which are standing, 10 are mobile offices, 70 are health facilities for back registration. We also have got three ports of entry in housing, which is RGL, Lanseria and Orchard Loop. Though, in my area of operation, I'm only responsible for Lanseria and Orchard Loop Air Force Base. And then we've got one rescue reception center, and we also have got a satellite office, which is zero. Then we also have got a well-established forum at both provincial and also at the district level. And those stakeholder forums are the ones that are assisting us to make sure that we reach out to areas where the stakeholders tend to think that it's necessary for us to reach. And at the same time, to assist us in terms of assessing the kind of the services that we are rendering to communities. So we're using the stakeholders. We also have got the leadership within the department, which is aimed at capacitating learners to make sure that we tend to benefit the department if absorbed and also other government departments. And this is also assisting in terms of the reduction of unemployment and providing the necessary experiences to the learners that it does pass matric. We've got a youth forum also that is mainly responsible for ensuring that they entrench the leadership and professionalism within the department, and also for the development and maintenance of the standards within the province. As honorable members will know that if you don't invest on the youth, then that will be a problem because they have to take over at some stage. Now, the province have also launched MoetaPe project. This is aimed at capacitating leadership and professionalizing the department. And one area where we have launched that is at Edenville office. And the plan is to make sure that this is launched throughout the province. Now, the province also have 24 smart card processing offices, and then out of the 24, we also have got one office which is a dedicated smart card center that has been earmarked to make sure that we improve service delivery, and that is the one which is at Mabanya Mall. What we are also doing as a department is that we have ventured into extending our footprint, and then we are now piloting smart cards or extension of services in Standard Bank, F&B and also in Nedbank. And as I'm talking now, our services for smart card services have been extended to Standard Bank and also to F&B. And honorable members will also know that there is also a memorandum of understanding that has been reached from our strategy department with Subrate for online verification, as and when people are accessing the banks, for them to be able to online verify the fingerprints. Now, in terms of the overview analysis of the progress that has been made towards the achievement of service delivery during 2015, we have managed for quarter one to achieve 7 out of 12 targets, and the area where we have achieved our targets as part of delivering services for our clients and for our stakeholders is that we have achieved in terms of the payment of invoices within 30 days.
We have achieved in terms of the direct deportation within 30 days. We have achieved in terms of absenteeism management, which also talks to leave management. We have achieved in terms of ensuring that our vacancy rate tends to be less than 10% as prescribed by DVSA. We have achieved in terms of proper management of revenue. And then we have also achieved in terms of the plans that we had of late registration of VAT outreach, which is aimed at eradicating the late registration of VAT. We have done well also in terms of that. We have also achieved in terms of dealing with the transgressors of the departmental legislation, noting that housing is a hub which is attracting a lot of migrants, mostly who tend to remain even though they no longer have legal status. We haven't done well in terms of birth registration within 30 days during quarter number one. As what we picked up is that quarter number one, year in and year out, tends to be a trend that most of we usually have more we don't usually have more registration during quarter number one, which also talks to the number of children that has been born. But now, when we move to quarter two and quarter three, those are the periods that we normally see a spike in terms of birth registration. We have planned to deal with the issue of the employers. We haven't achieved in terms of this. And then this has simply been because of the shift in terms of our concentration. Honorable members will know that as a result of the interministerial decision of the operation field, we the resources that we had ended up channeling most of our resources in support of the operation field. There's an issue that also has affected the issue of our fraudulent marriages for quarter one, the type that we have set ourselves to have an adjust. Now, the other area is on the smart card issue for 16 years and above. This is an area where we have less achieved in terms of a minimal number, which I will outline when I will be going down. And then also with regard to, we haven't achieved in terms of the transfers to Lindela within 30 days. And there is a dependency in terms of asking to move immigrants to Lindela. But now in terms of the quick wins, first talking to clients, we have ensured that during the quarter number one as our quick win that we are proud of to say we've managed to pay all our service providers within 30 days. We are at 100%. What we have also done as a quick win in terms of human resource, we've ensured that vacant current posts are filled within the stipulated time frame of 3 months. We've managed to do that. And we have also managed to maintain our vacancy rate at less than 4%. There's 6% there, it has changed because now we have improved from 6 now to 4. So our vacancy rate is less than, it's in fact at 4%. And then this is in line with 10% from DPSA. What we have also done is a big win, we've managed to make sure that we support the launch of Mwetabele in the province, which is aimed at transforming the whole leadership of the Department of Home Affairs and make sure that they are capacitated to properly manage the services within the whole country. On the stakeholder engagement also, we've ensured that we enter into a memorandum of understanding with the Department of Health so that the statistics from the Department of Health in terms of beds that are generated from the Department of Health are shared with us for us to be able to see as to how far have we gone in terms of registration and also to close the gap that we have between ourselves and the Department of Health. And at the same time, we have also achieved, we have also ensured that we extend our footprint by better registration in hospitals where there are some of the offices where we are no longer registering beds. The reason being that we wanted to register beds as and when it happens within the hospitals. What we have also managed to do in terms of the Operation Fiela is a quick win. We've managed through our participation in the Operation Fiela managed to detain and deport a sizable number of illegal immigrants under the Operation Fiela umbrella. In terms of the footprint, I've already indicated that as a quick win, we are operating now in F&B, in Joburg, and also in Standard Bank, and the plan is to extend our offices to other banks. In terms of operations management, we have implemented the new operating hours model that is to ensure operations for 6 days a week with no overtime and with no time off. So this has been done to make sure that we scale down the number of overtime that has always been paid because our overtime was overtaking the available budget that we had. So there is a new operating model which was implemented as part of the people. And then in terms of the chronogram of the province, I need to indicate honorable members that thank you, Honorable Chair. In terms of the organogram, I can say that we only have one district. We only have one district where we have got a post which is not funded at the director level. That is at City Bay. We do not have any funding for that. But now, in terms of managing that area, another DMO has been appointed to manage it also together with their own district. In terms of management, I think we are fine, because in terms of all our posts are all filled at management level, only have one vacancy in terms of that slide. One challenge that we also have in terms of the slide, honorable members, is the issue of we have 70 hospitals, but one major challenge that we have is capacitating those 70 hospitals to the level 5. Because our hospitals were appointed level 5, then we only have got 30 in the province that have been appointed. So we're not managing to cover all the 75, but we're also pulling out resources of level 6 from offices so that we can service those hospitals for a best registration. Another area which is a challenge is that if you look at housing is huge, the service demands are huge, especially when it comes to immigration services. We only have 181 immigration officers. So that is another area where there is a serious challenge in terms of capacity. Because the capacity that we have and the issue of us having to make sure that we service a huge number of immigrants within housing, it really poses a challenge. But for now, we're solely depending on the SAPS for assistance. And then in terms of the follow, this slide, honorable members, this slide is just an indication of where we are as Gauteng. The green is the number of offices, the brown is the number of hospitals, the yellow is the number of population, the star brown is the number of mobile offices within each district. But what I need to indicate to honorable members is that on this slide, if you look at the numbers that we have in terms of the population, we're trying to retract the new figures for that will reflect the increase in terms of the population that will make the 13.2 million. Those figures are the one, and then the one that are reflected here are the one that still talks to the parents. And this is an information that we just obtained, but as the time when we were submitting, we did not get that breakdown. We only got the national stats from State SA. And then in terms of the footprint, I will not dwell much on this line of research because I covered it on my introduction. And then on the issue of what have we done when it comes to modernization on slide number 13. What we have done is that in funding, out of the 9 offices that we have as major offices, we have managed to modernize 5 offices and are still in the process of modernizing 4. For that, we still have that still needs to be modernized in Temba, which covers the whole of Hammanskraal, Mabopane, but now closer to Mabopane, 2 kilometers away, there is a social movie office which is modernized, so the people around that area are covered. Now, one office also which is a major problem for us is Tenshiro. We have not yet modernized Tenshiro, honorable members. The reason being that the location of the office does not talk to our operation, and the thing that we have done, we have tried by all means to make sure that we secure a new space. The area is not suitable, the queue space is not favorable, it's really not suitable for our client. And the capacity that office can take is also very, very minimal. And the challenge is that area is being shared with other tenants. So the plan is we have tried to secure another space, we are just waiting for our property management to analyze everything, the area is really suitable. Another area that we have not expanded, that we have not yet modernized, which is still using the old system, is the Cullinan. Cullinan, we also do not want to modernize that office. It's still small, but we are now moving that office to Province Bay, where we are going to have a bigger office. Now, in Joburg Metro, Joburg Metro has got impact. All the offices of Joburg, the major offices of Joburg, are modernized, except one small office, which is of Ivory Park. And that one small office of Ivory Park have not been modernized because we're still trying to get a suitable space. Because if you look at the amount of money to modernize an office, honorable members, it goes on to millions. So first, we wanted to make sure that we get the office structure right, so that whatever investment that we are going to do within those structures should be from 10. People really, out of 8, we have modernized 8 offices in Ikurleni, major offices. We still have one office that we need to modernize, which is the Benoni office, and it's part of the team.
The second column, it says modernized. Then the third one, it says modernized as well. But then it's just explain me the just information to follow.
Honorable Chair, honorable members, slide 1, oh, slide 4 is the two sentences. So it's the two sentences. So that slide is saying all those two sentences are not modernized. Yeah, that's why I said not. Yeah. Now, for Ikurleni, we only have one office that still has to be modernized. And here, Honorable Chair, I'm only referring to, we've got two categories of offices. We've got large office and then we've got medium offices. So on the large and the medium offices, we have modernized 8 offices in Ikurleni. We are only left with one, which is non-office. And then in Wetherends, we have modernized Krugersdorp in the Wetherends, and then we also modernized very anything. But then on Sidibeng, that's where we've got Sibukeng, which is also modernized, and then we still have got, and then Panabelpa has also been modernized. We have got two offices that we still have to modernize, which is the Heidelberg and also the Everton. Heidelberg is earmarked for this financial year. The Everton, there is still a need for revamping its structure. Honorable Chair and members, on the hospitals, I indicated that we've got 70, and then we've got, out of the 70, we've got 38 hospitals which are functional, and then we also use mobile offices for hospitals. It doesn't mean that since we have not upgraded our mobile units for outreaches because of us not having upgraded them with this modern technology. We also use them to make sure that we services hospitals. In terms of the total, we have got 38 are operational, and then we have got a challenge with 32. We've got a challenge with 32 because in total they are supposed to make 70. And the challenge that we are having with this hospital is that last year, during the previous financial year, the department sought for a 3G solution where services were being accessed through the 3G. So the 3G solution did really not benefit us as a problem, and it created a lot of problems why it was not connecting. And the other challenge was that our IT and the IT of hospitals at times were not compatible. And then on the civic targets, we committed during the previous financial year to register 161,604 beds. But we managed to register, we have overachieved that target by registering 170,973 beds during the previous financial year. That led to us increasing our target this financial year. This financial year, the plan that we have in the province is to register 174,000 beds. And then for quarter one, we, on the target of beds, the target that we had was 41,958. We managed to register 41,677. It's a difference of 281. So we haven't achieved on this target. But if you look at the previous financial year, we started a little bit slower, but as the a year old when we ended up managing to cover up for the lost numbers. The slide number 21 is talking to that. But then, some of the things that are really creating is a problem for us to make sure that we achieve our best target is the challenge of the hospital connectivity, because not all our hospitals are connected. This is a problem. And the other thing is that we don't have permanent footprint 7 days a week, and hospitals are discharging 7 days a week. So we're losing out on some of the beds that have been, where people have been released, where mothers have been released during the weekends. And then on the issue of the smart cards, last year we targeted 342,720, but as of the end of the financial year, we managed to make sure that we serviced 129,810, which is an overachievement of our target. But for this financial year, we've increased our target from 742 to say we need to service 665,280 South Africans with smart cards. South Africans, because we're still not issuing it to permanent resident holders and naturalized people. Now the target for quarter one here, we targeted 166, but we did not achieve also on this one, as we only managed to take in 133 applications, 133,998. And one of the reasons here is, which we have noted, which we have requested that we need to address it, is that our previous communication strategy that was presented from the department side was that the 60 years and above and the 16 years should be a priority. We have not yet moved to the registration by month of age. And if you look at Gauteng, we have managed to cover the 60 years and above, because in Gauteng we really do not have a lot of the 60 years and above. Most of the 60 years and above are found in other provinces. So that number of the 60 years and above, we've managed to cover most of the oldest in Gauteng. So we do not have a lot. So we went to the communication strategy now to be changed to say, let's register by month of birth, so that can then push the middle age, because those are the people that are not coming for. We push the middle age to make sure that they are compelled to register on the month of birth. That is an issue that has been presented. It's still to be announced by DG National. And then we still see the number of green barcoded IDs. Those have increased. We still have got green barcoded IDs which have been issued. And these green barcoded IDs are the green barcoded IDs where applications are acquired through the mobile units, because we don't have a mobile solution when they do the outreaches, and also to some of these small offices that are not yet modernized. So those are the green barcoded. But if you look, honorable members, in terms of state, Johannesburg is always on top, followed by Fund. And these are the ID campaigns where we've invited, this slide talks to the schools which have invited, the number of IDs which have been issued. And then here, on the issue of the 16 years and above, that is the part which I've covered it today, we have got a challenge, because we are not managing to provide services to schools like we used before. Because prior to us modernizing and introducing the smart card, we're managing to service schools because we were issuing them with the green barcoded ID. Now, because our mobile cards are not upgraded yet, so it turns out to be a challenge. What we have done here, we've partnered with the Department of Education to make sure that we block some time within our offices where they can release learners to come and make sure that they apply for the smart card. And then slide number 26 talks to the issue of passports. We still have manual passports and also passports which have been registered with the life capture. And that slide reflects the statistics in terms of the total number of passports issued previous financial year and this financial year as services to South Africa. Passports that are reflected here are only those that are in the hands of South Africa. On immigration target of slide number 28, this one, I've indicated that we have achieved this one. On my summary, this is the direct deportation. This is where we've got people that are volunteering to buy themselves flight tickets that they live, and others is when we can just deport those people to our neighboring countries. But in terms of the top five countries, that's where we were deported, We've noted that Ghana, these are the top five countries, Ghana, Congo, India, and Lesotho. And then on the issue of Section 9 still talks to that, and then on slide number 30, this is the percentage of, this one talks to 100% of illegal immigrants, undocumented foreigners transferred to Lindell. We've managed to transfer 4512 instead of 4691. The reason being here being that when we close the first quarter, we still have some of the numbers of immigrants that were arrested during that quarter, but that is overloaded to the next quarter. And then on the slide on port control statistics, these are the two ports that are being managed by the province, so they've just been moved to the fleet as of the 1st of April. But what we are seeing here is that we're seeing an increase in the number of South Africans who are now using Lanseri airports as for both arrival and also departure. And then the other state is with regard to Waterkloof Air Base, that is the airport that is a reflection of the state in terms of the South Africans and also the foreigners. And you note, honorable member, that there is more departure on the side of foreigners than the arrival. This slide is the one that talks to asylum seekers. We still have the five top countries of asylum. Zimbabwe is still top, Nigeria second, Asian, Ethiopia, and Somalia. But in terms of the approval, we know Ethiopia is number one, DRC is number two, and Somalia is number three. And then this slide, the one that talks to invoices within 30 days, is an achievement. This slide talks to the staff profile. The total number of the establishment of housing is 1,512. And if you look on the numbers as where most of the numbers are at the soldier base, because they've got 1,035, we are at level 6. And then others at the numbers will vary. But then if you look at housing, honorable members, if you look at the number in terms of equity, we still have got more females than males, because we are accounting for 947 females and 550 males. And then we are also, I think we have also done well in terms of making sure that we recruit people with disability. We are expected to hit our 2%. We are closely there because we have got 6 males and 9 females. This is the employment equity, which talks to the ages and also in terms of both males and females. If you look at the midlife, honorable members, in terms of equity, between 18 and 35, we have got 492 officials, dominated by females. Between the age of 35 to 51, which are nearing the half a century, we have got 778, and more are also female. And then between 50 to 65, we have 135, and those that are about to exit the system, who are at a feasible age, they are 112. There we still have got more females than males. This slide talks to the vacant funded post that we had when we started this financial year. We had vacancy rate of 63. And then in terms of the total number of post fields, we have filled 96% of our structure. We are only left with, we were left with 4%. So the 63 has been the vacancies that we opened this financial year. And as of now, in terms of the vacancies, we had 63. 9 have not yet been advertised. We have advertised 54. Out of the 54, we have shortlisted 45. We have not yet shortlisted 9 of the 45. And then we have interviewed 43. 2 have not been interviewed from the 43 making 45. We have managed to fill 34 posts. We still have got 29 posts that are to be filled. But within this 29, we also have got more than 10 posts where people are to resume duty as of today. But we did not take that number out of the 29 because it doesn't fall within the period of the or within our reporting. Which means that our vacancy rate, as I was saying, is now at 4%. Now, in terms of performance management 1512, we have managed to make sure that their performance agreements are signed, they have contracted. We only had an issue with regards to the assessment and the performance for the previous financial year because we had 6 termination of contracts and 3 resignations prior to the end of the financial year. In terms of leave management, as a province, we are doing well. There is compliance in terms of making sure that leaves are checked on a monthly basis, and there is a leave certificate that is defined as a binding document to each and every manager to make sure that, or to give an undertaking that he or she has checked all the leaves, because now leave management is not properly managed. That is an area where we normally have problems with regard to our funding. Now, in terms of invoices, this is just a reflection of where we are. 2014-2015, we only achieved 98.65%. The reason being that this function was first decentralized in 2014. Provinces were unable to start to procure and pay service providers directly. Now that function has been decentralized. It has been decentralized financial year 2014-15, but within that year we managed to run with speed and achieve 98.65%. But for this financial year, quarter one, we are at 100. This, honorable members, is our compensation of employees for the previous financial year. We had a budget of 370 million. But we ended up overspending. We ended up spending. Our actual spending moved from 370 of the amount of money that was given to us to 379 million. On the compensation of employees, we have overspent by 2.29%, which is 9 million. And the cost of this was as a result of salary adjustment. There was salary adjustment from level 9 to level 10 and from level 11 to level 12. We had to overspend as a result of that. But that overspending is still within the spending patterns of 2% less or 2% more. And then in terms of goods and services, 2014-2015, what we have managed to do, we were given a budget for goods and services of 25 million. And what we did on the 25 million, we did spend. Instead, we were given a budget of 25 million, but we spent 26 million with an overspending of 81. But then, in terms of our spending patterns, we were at 131%, which is in line. Now, the province overall is in line with the spending of 100% on goods and services, and is within the 2% for under or overspending guideline, with an overspending of 0.81%, which is 81,477.57. And this was caused by household expenditure. This one, honorable members, is as a result of the people that resigned, because year in, year out, you really do not have a plan of who will be deciding to resign. So that led to an overspending. And then the household also includes the leave gratuity payouts for those employees that are either resigning or retire or those who pop off. And then for 2015-16, we, on this one, we are allocated a budget of 384 million. And to date, our spending, our actual spending is 181 million. This is the money for the salaries. And then for 2015-2016, on goods and services, we got a budget of, last year we got a budget of 26 million. Our budget has been downsized. This year we were given a budget of 25 million. And in terms of total spending, we have spent over 12 million, and then we are only left with 13.1 million. In terms of the spending patterns, we should be at 35, but we are at 35.61. But then the total spend is 48.13. And this 48.13, honorable members, must not be seen as a misuse of government's money. We have not actually spent this money, but what we have done, we've reinforced our budget that we have to pay for the whole year for our contractual obligations. which means that the 13,000 that is here does not talk to the contractual obligation that we have to pay. So that money is the one that we have reinvested, and it forms, that is why I was saying it's at 48.1%. So the province has committed funds to contractual obligations for a period of 12 months, hence seemingly overspending on the goods and services. The overall, the province is in line with the spending patterns of 33.33% on goods and services and is within the 2% for underspending or overspending guideline at 0.81%. Now, in terms of revenue collection for the previous financial year, Gauteng has managed to collect 290 million of revenue. And the highest general revenue collecting offices has been the Johannesburg Metro at 70 million, followed by Tshwane at 64 million. This is the money that we have managed to collect with the kind of services that we are rendering. And then for this financial year, as of the 31st of July from April, 1st April, we've managed to collect 69.3 million. And Johannesburg is still on top, followed by Tshwane. In terms of fleets, we have got 184 cars, and functional is 176, which is at 95%. We've got 4 cars which have been involved in the next, or 8, I don't remember. Now, on the issue of asset management, the province accounted for 26,919. We verified 26,990 assets, and this asset, the value of the asset amounted to 126.2 million. But then we still had a challenge in terms of some of the assets that were unverified, but now our verification sits at 98%, noting the vastness in terms of the number of assets that we had verified. And then we failed to verify 613. But the value of the 613 has been 1.2 million, which... But then, we were also audited, and in terms of the audit, there was only one. In fact, we should have been 100% in terms of the audit from 80. But then, we have accounted for all except one thing, which is a credenza. And the reason why this credenza was not accounted for was because it was broken, and the barcode, the barcode was, that piece could not be found. So, this one credenza is the one that really created a problem for us as routing. But all those that were that AG wanted to verify were verified. Employee engagement. 9 cases of corruption, fraud and corruption has been reported, but we ended up having 17 outcomes that were issued. These 17 outcomes included cases that were carried over. But for this financial year, 9. Improper conduct 1. Abscondment, where we had 1 case of abscondment. Financial mismanagement, we had 1 case. Gross negligence 6, negligence 2. Gross dishonesty here is 6. And then we also had a physical fight which led to us having people for assault, and we had 3. Now, in terms of anti-corruption and security, this slide, honorable members, talks to the cases that have been referred to counter-corruption, which one of the major cases that we also had here is the case of nepotism, which is one. And then train transit, I will not talk to this. We have got that. It's a 6-day service within our offices. It's with fidelity. Money is being collected from Monday up until Saturday in the morning. We only had a challenge of money that would have been collected on Saturday because it has to remain there, which attracts a lot of criminals. They ended up cutting all the days of runway, but unfortunately did not reach the same which had money. So there is an arrangement to say, can we have something that also collects this money on a Saturday so that we cannot have money that is in their offices during the weekend. These are some of the projects. This is Operation Kiela. This slide tells us to the impact that we have made in the whole province in terms of Operation Kiela. This slide talks to outreach programs for the province. We had outreach that covered all the district municipalities within the province. And this has been done, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, as part of ensuring that we eradicate the LRB cases. Because the Minister has made a pronouncement that by December this year, we should have cleared all the LRB, because this is an area which opened up for fraudulent theft and ID acquisition. So we have managed to cover the whole province, and as we are moving towards closure, we are confident that we have tried to clean all most of the areas that we identified as hotspots, though we know that there will always be an influx that comes to housing. Achievements, in terms of our achievements, one is the rollout to the banks. Two, we have launched Mazapel at Edenvale, we have noted. Three, we have really made a high impact in terms of the lease registration of BEF. And then the other one, well, it has been the successful transition of permitting regime to BFF because it has offloaded our offices and it has left us with a certain capacity that we are managing to make sure that we provide other services. We also have got a series of a specialized service center, in this case, which is Maponya Mall. And then what we have also done, though still has to be finalized with everything, we're planning to secure an office, a suitable office space for Centurion. We are just waiting for property management to finalize almost everything. And we have also managed to make sure that all our management posts, except all our funded management posts, are cleared, except only one post. Challenges? We have got a problem in terms of the unstable hospitals and network connectivity that also impact negatively on bed registration. The system downtime, CISA reported throughout, that has been putting us problems where we tend to be offline for some time. The other challenge is no mobile solution for modernization, which is creating a problem for us, but there seems to be a plan for that. We have got a high challenge as housing in terms of the high volumes of clients, especially during weekends. What we have picked up is that since the opening on Saturday, clients tend to continue their day-to-day normal activity during the week and only crowd our offices on Saturday. And that creates a problem. Because on Saturday, we are working with a minimal capacity of 50%, and at the same time, we have got limited working hours. So most of the complaints come on Saturday. But here, though it's a challenge, we said we need to come up with a plan of making a determination to say within those 5 hours, how many people can we really service so that we can then be able to properly communicate to the client. But at the same time, encourage clients that they should not only target Saturday. Because when Saturday was planned, Saturday was only planned to assist few clients when it was introduced. Few clients that did not have an opportunity to work during the course of the day. What we are seeing, people go to work all week and only come to us on Saturday. That creates a problem. Another issue, Honorable Chair, is the corruption at Marawasa. Honorable members might have noted it through the media that both from outside and inside, but most of the problem of Marawasa is outside. Doesn't mean that asylum seekers visit that area at night or even in the early hours of the morning when our officials are not yet on duty. So who they find there portray themselves as members from the Department of Home Affairs. And this has also had a serious impact because we have now even seen police being picked up from that area. Instead of protecting people, they continue with the same. But corruption is not only from our side in housing. We've got some pockets and pockets of corruption in our offices, though it's not at that high rate, because the modernized system and all the modernized system and also the issue of the BFS has eliminated a lot of corruption, because our officials are no longer directly managing to get hold of permits of immigrants. So the previous process was more corrupt because now there was a link from the office, then to the office, and then there. So now because it's with the collection part, it's with BFS, it has assisted us to limit, to eliminate corruption. Thank you, Honorable Member.
Yeah, you have spoken in general, that's why it's our plan to open 51 and 52 in relation to fraud and corruption, misconduct. Can you spend a minute just explain to us, in a way, you know, the area where these things have been, fraud and corruption, 9 cases reported. In which offices are we speaking about this? Those that you know, don't care.
Okay.
Yes.
Honorable Chair.
Just 1.5 minutes.
Pretoria Harrison. Is Pretoria Harrison, Jimmison office also. Those are our main flagships. Just then, topping the list. Yeah, not Jimmy Harrison, topping the list, followed by Jimmy Stein and the Victoria at the bottom office. Those are the offices that are normally giving us problems. And Honorable Gale will know that those are the offices that also are highly capacitated. Because in Harrison, we've got a capacity of over 170 something personnel. So those are the, and then the kind of frauds that have been picked up in those offices, solely fraudulent South African ID acquisition. And some were cases of permitting. And what we've picked up also is that there are also cases that are emerging now in Harrison of smart cards. Because now, in terms of the process where we are now, smart cards are only issued to citizens, not to where our citizen is still being upgraded to accommodate permanent residence holders and naturalized people. But we still see some of the people that could just be identified as non-South African. I think what they've managed to receive, they've managed to receive close to 60 of those cases. And those cases have been referred to our counter corruption to investigate. And how those cases came, honorable chair, is that, you see, if syndicates have operated well and have managed to corrupt our system, it covers all the angles. Where process A in terms of the office, well done. Process B in terms of the filling of an ID, and the other area also, which really contribute for Harrison. We've picked up that there is this market of ID numbers. Again, ID numbers are produced from VVR, are generated from VVR. Now there is that link between some of the officials from VVR with our officials in the office. Where immediately when an ID number has been generated, that ID number which is generated to a specific person can then be taken and be sold to another person. They generate that ID. What then happens is that whole process tends to be as if it's a legit process, but having accommodated an illicit person. So that is why now, in terms of the smart card, they have managed to maneuver through the smart card because they've entered that angle, not as naturalized or permanent person, but as South African.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I think also
what we are picking up is that our smart card is no longer secured until this hole is closed.
Yeah. Because also
it is in the process of closing.
Yeah. I think the process of closing it, Honorable Chair, it's a mini complicated one. Because it talks to serious other investigation. In 2011, if we had hundreds of Zimbabweans that were picked up with our legit South African IDs and passports. And that was the time when they were unrest in Zimbabwe. But we were sure to realize that come December, a lot of the people that we thought that they were South African were going to Zimbabwe. Only to realize that those were in fact not South African. They were Zimbabweans with legit South African IDs. So grabbing it is an issue that we are going to try. But it's basically going to be complicated, especially with people that have gone through a process from start to finish. But it's a war that will keep on fighting. Because this one were picked up through identification. When they were handing them over, there are times when you can realize that this doesn't know. It's not. When you dig deeper, then you pick up that, yes, this person is not a problem. They have not deserved it. So but those are suggested.
So, but one thing on page there is that you have a person having a smart ID or an a green barcoded ID book, but doesn't have a birth certificate or doesn't have documentation for naturalization and therefore it must be questionable how you get this particular document. The system should be able to track that. For some reason, but the system should be able to check those and retrieve them over a period of time.
Yeah, I think what is being done now,
I would like you to say that.
Oh, but I wanted to say because there is something that...
I would like you to say that.
Okay.
Yes. I'm sure Honorable members understand. Thank you very much. Can we then engage engage the two reports for some 15 to 20 minutes. Honorable Hussein,
followed by Mekrene, followed by England, and followed by Putin, and honorable members of the ministry.
Chief, thank you very much. In the last comment about the Smart ID was the most interesting. And we all had this high hopes on our Smart ID, and to hear what we hear now, I don't know if I want to ask any other questions, but just Smart ID. Not so smart now anymore. But anyway, we'll come back to that one. I've got a number of questions. I'll try and get them as short as possible, but I want to focus on two issues in particular and then come to the questions. The first one is this thing about the birth.
For other people who say, you won't put me in a problem like that.
I understand.
So that other group members cry.
I will wow. I'll get to a certain point and then I'll just pass notes down the line and make it a good question. This thing about the birth registration at the hospitals, it seems a problem both in Gauteng as well as in Limpopo, and I suspect it's going to be a problem in all nine provinces. And as quickly as we were speaking, I looked at some of the questions that we got advice from the minister way back in 2013. And even in 2013, there was 31% of the systems that were operational or didn't have sufficient number of staff. I remember putting in question last year on the same thing. But clearly this is a problem that is spanning over a period of years now, since it was launched in March, when the idea was first mooted to do the registration of birth at hospitals. But it's scary to see that 2 years have passed and you still have insufficient staff at the hospitals. I understand that you can't have a person sitting at a hospital for 24 hours if there's only two babies going to be born on that day. I get the practicality of that. But I don't get the sense that there is a solution for it. I don't get that kind of feeling that surely there must be a way in which you could figure out how many expectant mothers have been admitted in a hospital on a certain period. I mean, you can work all this little detail out, but it's just very concerning that you're unable to get some level of control over the thing. And this problem about connectivity, again, is coming from 2013. There's a problem with connectivity. There's always a problem with connectivity in the Home Affairs Department. And I don't know why it's not really resolved. I must really send my son to help you. He fixes everything. But surely with all the millions you guys are spending that you must be able to fix a little problem like that. Is it really so serious that you can't connect with all of the millions that you're spending? I don't get it. It just doesn't make sense. And we'll put another reply and we'll get an answer that question. We'll get a reply from the minister that says we've got connectivity problems. Don't we have sufficient suitable people in Home Affairs to be able to fix this problem and make sure that you can quit, if you can put it as simple as that? It's just not acceptable for 2 years you're battling to get this thing. And then it's linked to the campaign on registration of births, which is, I mean, I've seen both provinces have done some very good work in terms of the outreach program and communicating and educating the public on what is it that Home Affairs is trying to do. But you're fighting a never-ending battle, because you don't get your connectivity right and you're unable to get the hospital sorted out, then you're always going to have people who are not registered. So all of the millions you're spending on the campaign for late registration of birth, in the long run, is actually going to be wasted, because you yourself can't register babies that are born in the hospital. In fact, there should be far more effort and investment made in the hospitals, because that's where you catch all, than educating the people at this stage. I mean, although that's important, and that campaign is important, but you're going to find yourself in a never-ending tailspin here, because you're communicating, you're educating people about late registration of birth, but in the meantime, there are still people who are not going to get registered. So to me, the two things just don't work, and you're operating in a silo there with that. I promise you, 2 years from now, you'll still be busy with people who are unable to register because of this story. You'll have many, many late registrations. And then there's the penalties that are being issued in all of us. Anyway. I just want to deal quickly with Limpopo. I see there's a problem with the senior citizens collecting the IDs, and I wonder whether there's any attempt to try and reach out to them get it delivered to them. So is there a plan you guys have in place to get that sorted out? I've dealt with the hospitals. Then there was on slide 28 in the Limpopo presentation, there was a comment made there that the courts are not willing to prosecute. If you can just post that. I don't want to waste too much time and not try to find the document. It seems like some courts were prosecuting on illegal areas of the court and others were not. Something to do with marriage or convenience. It's just that I don't know if there's any marriage, does anyone get married for inconvenience? Everybody gets married. Well, I don't know if they call it marriage or convenience. We all get married for convenience. Yeah. I'm just saying, you are getting married for inconvenience. You need to find another term to explain this thing. Everybody gets married for convenience. I don't know who gets married for inconvenience, seriously. I don't know, maybe there is an inconvenient marriage or relationship. I don't know what to call it up. It's slide 28, yeah, and slide 28 is the Limpopo one. Slide 31, let me leave that one. The other problem is the duplicate IDs in the book. And I suspect, well, Gauteng hasn't touched on it. I suspect it might be a problem in Gauteng too, so it's a problem everywhere else. Why this thing is particularly important, and I engaged with the gentleman just last week, who has got a criminal record, is owing people money, and it's a nightmare. And it hasn't been him. It's been taking him 6 months to try and get the thing resolved. So I can understand his frustration when the provincial managers come to resolve it. Imagine what's happening on ground. And maybe there's something that we need to flag as a committee to raise with Civic when they come here, the DGGs. Because this must be a problem. And I'd really like to understand what the cause of the problem is. It doesn't seem to me that you have the answer for it. You just simply say that these things are reported to the head office but nothing's happening. And in some cases, you've got zero responses on it. Fetta Homo. How does something like this ever happen? And can I just ask, where is that situation sitting, and who's going to, is there some sense of some accountability for this? Is it Department of Public Works? Is it Home Affairs Department? But where exactly is that, what's the status of the thing at the moment, and whose error was this? Is something that I myself would like to consider. I spoke about the hospitals here, I won't go into those details. Think of Marabasta. This is my favorite topic, Marabasta. And I want to ask the good provincial manager whether or not he's had a look at that report that reads by Lawyers for Human Rights, a few years of corruption, the one you heard to in the media. I wonder whether you read that report. And it's very clear, it says right across the board of the asylum application process that there's corrupt activity from outside of the gate all the way through the process entirely. But yet, when you responded to a question by the chair, you talked about the 9 cases of fraud and corruption, it amazes me that you haven't got anyone at Marabatas, that you don't know something's, well, the report says something happening there. But as the provincial manager, you have not been able to apprehend any staff member in Marabatas for the corruption. Unless, of course, that report is incorrect. And you've got a counter-corruption unit. It's been all over in the media. So I would like to hear what your response is, that knowing the entire country knows there's corruption in Marabastad, but you, the provincial manager, telling us there's no corruption cases against any staff member in Marabastad. You've got Victoria, you've got Harrison, you've got Jameson. It's been 9 cases. Are there cases pending against staff in Marabastad? And I've seen the recommendations from that report, Curia for Corruption. Are those some of those recommendations that you're taking seriously? I know that our committee has made some recommendations there as well, but I'm not sure that that's the entire list of things that can be corrected at Marabastad. Then there's, on slide 32, if you can quickly just run to that slide, because I need to understand that if I'm not, I want to point it up to you that perhaps I'm incorrect. He talks about arrivals and departures at Lanseria, Yes, that's right, 32. Yes. Poor control statistics. You've got arrival and departure time for Lanceria and waterproof airbase. This is not a port of entry for the general public, as I understand, unless I'm incorrect. No. But there's a very high level of arrivals and departures to port of entry that is used by the public. And there's like 418 arrivals, 518 departures. So if you can talk on that, I mean, I can't expect you to tell who the 518 people are, but just to give us an idea of who's actually using that base. Is it open to the public, do you say? I'll leave the rest of the question because it's not asking you to give me another chance.
Yes. Now we will get a second bite and if time allows. I hope you have followed that.
Thank you very much for the presentation. My question is on Limpopo. I understand that Mbembe is the second biggest district on population statistics, following the Capricorn. But the problem is that in some of the areas there are no permanent staff. How does it happen on the station of birth if there are no permanent staff? And also, why few permanent staff is in the hospital? What is happening? Because hospitals are where children, most babies are born. But to have a permanent staff that are few, and to have, that is the problem. So that the population of Mbembe is that big. Secondly, on page 19, we talk about, all I'm saying is that access question, but also I have a concern about the low collection of low collection rate by senior citizens. As you know, that there are more people for the elders is very difficult. Really, he has already asked a question about your mechanisms for outreach to all these senior citizens. On page 27, you talk about workplaces, lots, and farms, access to farms. First, at what time do you visit these workplaces that you will get access to entry? It's locked. And secondly, concerned about the farms. For the access to these farms, what is your position? Do you engage South African Police Services to assist in that regard? On page 54, management of leave. There is 1,314 discrepancies on the management of leave. What is happening there? Because to my understanding, human resources, there should be people who have the capacity on human resources. What makes discrepancies to be such a big number? What causes those discrepancies? And then also, I don't understand when the abbreviation of PILRI submitted together and take the abbreviation of PILRI. On staff profile, in both presentations, we always talk about females being, they've got more females than males, but to my observation, women are more on the lower levels, but on the top senior positions, starting from level 10 upwards. You seldom so see women with this equity you're talking about. You find that most men are in the senior positions. What happens? Are the females not are they not applying for these positions? Or there's a shortage of some sort, I don't know. Maybe you can just explain on both positions, it's not a problem. You talk about this gender equity, but at the same time, you don't check where are these women, because those females are down there, they are not there up on the top positions. That is the problem. Coming to Gauteng, some of my questions have been asked. Coming to Gauteng, yes, I understand this challenge we have got, but what is worrying me about the challenge we are talking about?
when you look at this target. But what you get is these challenges. These challenges are mostly on the very critical areas, on the challenges. Especially that you are talking about this representation is so frustrating because we've got a target. We've got a deadline of December 2015. What were, now my question is that we are sure that you meet the target on the legislation, late presentation of December. Now that you are talking about these problems at the weekends and there's something, a problem with the weekends, what is happening during the weekend? What is your position or what is your strategy to make ends meet when you talk about the problems during the weekends to register business? Also, on the transgressors, and also employers' charge. But I don't understand, do you, on the fraudulent marriages also, all those things, those challenges, do you engage staff also on these regards? Because really, because what Honorable Senator said, talking about the true convenience, yes, we know the convenience, because even the foreign nationals, if they want to get entry to the country, they make inconvenient marriages, which are some inconvenient marriages. Convenient marriages, so that we can get the South African identity. For the human resource vacancy rate, oh, I was talking to that. Some questions have been asked, that's why I'm checking that.
I think you are done.
Yeah, most of my questions have been asked.
Yes, yes, Honorable Sidan.
No, Sebastian. No, Sebastian, you need to.
Oh.
I'm trying to check those that have been asked.
Yeah.
Yeah. On DHA, what's the print? You say that you manual collection never connected, but I said it. So, what can be done in this regard? What can be done also on to see that also the registration of the or what is that for the weekend? Or I'm also talking about that issue of registration of the what can be done on that issue? And then, what is your remedy the strategy to remedy the situation? To eradicate, you are talking about the achievement that talks to eradication of late, how? If you say that you are the achievement is to want to eradicate the late situation, how are you going to eradicate it? The rationale, because you have said that you want to eradicate it. Pipeline volume, which is also a challenge. What mechanisms are there in place to see that this pipeline volume, you can be able to service all of them with the same money? Also, I think lastly, on the fleet management, I understand that we've got 176 functional vehicles. Why functional when other provinces are having a problem? Why are you functional? What do you think is your strategy that so that you can be able to the information to send it even to others, to pass it to other provinces? As you say that you have vehicles that are functioning well, whereas there's a problem in other provinces. And then ask me, who is the service provider for the rescue system? Why can you amount to repair? Thank you, citizen.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm not going to be long. I just want to vote in the form of slide 23, where honorary March learners are no longer interested in applying for green ID books during school visitation. I just want to know, how do you deal with that issue? Because they are supposed to know you can't apply for smart ID if you don't have a green ID card. So do you educate them on that side? And then that's my understanding. The second one, on page 13, I see you've filled in 8 positions and there's 2 vacant. For how long? slide 13. Am I too fast? Okay.
Oh, yes, but somebody does it with no job.
Okay, I see there you have 10 vacancies, and you filled in 8, and there's 2 that is not vacant. And how long does it take to fill in a position, and how long was that vacant? Okay. I'm trying to look at the right. And then the last question I want to ask. How many clients on average over service with mobile offices in each one? If you are using your mobile. Okay. Then I want to go to Gauteng one. The Gauteng, you mentioned that you is the bank are lost, and you mentioned Standard Bank and SNB. Now I just want to find out how many days are you at the bank, and how many banks, like Standard Bank, is all Standard Banks in Gauteng or even the SNBs, and how is it working? Is it trying to assist you to achieve the target that you plan for your offices? And the weekend, you know, I'm just worried about the registration of birth, because you mentioned that at the hospitals, there are people who are discharged on Sunday, then you're going to have that number. What can be done to ensure registration of birth of children on weekends are done in order to reach your target? What are the plans in place to address non-operational or health facilities due to connectivity problems? Thank you, Chair. Those are the questions.
Thank you very much, Honorable Rafiki.
Thank you very much. You said that you are not in Toriseng with Toriseng. Yeah, thank you very much for the presentation from Limpopo. I think on Stretch Urban, on those vacant posts, especially on the Rembrandt district, you know, with the distribution of 24% in population, and you don't have anybody in that district, and what is there, what are you going to do with it? Have you already advertised on that post? And on the issue of duplication, because people come to me also about the duplication of IDs. Why there is a delay, and what is the norm of really doing the investigation and issuing the person with the rightful ID? And on the issue of filled and vacant and funded posts, I get worried because of this high unemployment rate, and when we are having vacant funded posts which are not filled. So how are you going to assist in that regard? That is Limpopo. You know this IB school project, I think it's more youth, which they don't go and vote. And I just wanted to check whether are you, this IB school, is it for the smart card? Who's paying for them if it's a smart card? Because it's 100 rent. And you should assist me this Sunday. I'm having a big group that we are doing an ID kind of a campaign. So what should I do? Because I really want to ensure that youth, they get IDs, and then they must go and register, and they must vote and go direct voting. And also on the 18th of September, I've got also a big youth initiative. So if you can be able to assist me with that. And then the issue of timber. I visited the timber officers, and they were really saying that they are being overworked because they are servicing, I think in Mpumalanga, they are servicing in Mpumalanga also. And Northwestern, yeah. So I was just saying that, what are you going to assist the timber people? And seeing that there is a mall there in Hammanskraal. So why can't you utilize this? Because some of them, they don't even have this smart card. And timber is becoming a city. So really, I feel that it's totally unfair for the people of timber to still drive to go to the CBD of Tshwane. So if you can speed up the process.
and also in Olivet Road, because they have to go to Centurion. Drive to Centurion, and the people there, they're saying most of the people are indigent. And there is a big mall there. So why can't you, like in the Maponya Mall, why can't you have that kind of an offices whereby you can be able to assist, you know, our need people in that area? I read in the paper, I'm sorry, the Kempton Park, this, I said 2 days, they found somebody in Kempton Park with lot of passports, with lot of IDs. Is he an employee of the department? No, it was a big question mark. I read it in one of the papers. So is this one of your own, or what is really happening with it? The issue of double IDs. I get SMSs. I'm also a Home Affairs employee, consultant. So this person, he had 2 IDs. The ID with the father's family, the ID with the mother's family. Stupidly, it's already 3 months. We wrote everything, they did all the affidavit, they went to, what is it, the one next to Mandela there, in Soweto. But they're still waiting. So how long does it take? Because he said that he wants to use the mother's name because the father was too bully. I'm sorry to the fathers. And the father knew Mary, the mother. And the father stole that guy when he was still young. And he took, you know, because ID, that time when you take an ID for your son, it was such a prestige thing. Only to find that it's such a simple thing. So the poor God wants to go to her mother to use another family. Because the bully now is dead. Thank you.
No, it's of inconvenience, this one. Because everybody's crying there.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Firstly, let me thank the presenters for their presentations, which are up to scratch, and let me appreciate that. Secondly, generally, I figure they are managing the department well, generally. But those are the only complaints I'm prepared to offer. Now we have 3. One. But before we greet each other, let us look at the mobile vehicles and say congratulations to you for 400%. If that is true, when they're running well, it means that you are managing well. I would have expected that the situation would have been the other way around. Counting 100% and the bottom then 90-something because of the differences between towns and then the expansiveness of the province. Congratulations to Mpopo, but it's not very bad as well in Gauteng. The issue of hospital connectivity. What are the plans? Because this problem of SITA is a long-standing problem, and we cannot afford to let people travel distances. They come to an office, and the offices are down, and because of connectivity. And then at the end of the day, you will find out that it's either cable burst or SITA. What are the plans moving forward? What are your negotiations? Because we've got to provide solutions. That is why we employ educated managers and managers that are competent. Really, 30 days, this thing, invoice, this thing, payment. I think in both cases we are paying the 100%, is it? Even for housing, I know in Limpopo was 100%, housing is 100% as well. I think let me say congratulations on that as well. The president has been often saying that really we are making is very difficult, particularly for small businesses, some even run bankrupt because of this. If that is the effort that you have put, I think that is well, it is worth being appreciated, because it does a lot to so many. The issue of immigration sector, I think here we've got to keep getting reports on immigration officers, because quite often you find that we are not having enough, and here we are having a serious problem on immigration, on refugees and people, economic migrants in the country. We just need inspectors, and some of the borders are not guarded. In Northern Cape, we found that some inspectors are not in uniform. I did not hear anyone of you talking about inspectors' uniforms, and in the Northern Cape, that problem was quite rife. And then, fourthly, I think I'd like to hear something about your experiences with the banks. Does it make it better? Your experience is better? Do they do the job the way we expected? What are the problems? Are there any serious problems? Fifth, the issue of government, particularly at leadership level and senior level. We have all the ministers. I saw in Zimbabwe there was one area that did not have a senior person. And then the resources and capacity didn't allow you to deliver, because you do not have management at the top, then you cannot deliver. That goes together with the issue, the question of internal control, particularly when it comes to internal audit and the audit committees. What are the problems? Are you having rich architectures for your specific areas? Bravo Star. Risk analysis, risk profile. Are we looking at risk in a proactive manner rather than looking at it when we have been tracked already? And then there comes the issue of the children and weekends. I think here we want to hear more of that. Managers are there to face problems. They are there to resolve problems. They are there to make a hold. You are having problems with Saturday, which banks are having as well. How are you then resolving? My bank is long tooth as well, but this closes at 11 o'clock. There sometimes then you finish your business at 1 o'clock. How do you manage that, and what are your plans? Because this has recently been introduced. This is part, what you experience is part of keeping progress. But now we have employed you as one of the best brains and best managers available in the country. What are you doing? I think if we can hear that Honorable Chairperson, and that we can plan, if we are not satisfied around answers, then we get other reports that have been through you. That is your business, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That is a proposal that I want to make, because we still have two provinces to present before 1 o'clock. Before 1 o'clock. We're still struggling to finish the first two. And I thought that you were going to assist me. And then you had a field of issue. Now, I will just ask both provinces to really answer three difficult questions that you have received. Then the rest, you'll make sure that the AD gets them in writing, okay, within the next 7 days, so that I'm able to get to the next two provinces before 1 o'clock. Okay? The three difficult questions, I'll say three difficult questions for you. The difficult one, when you answer, we'll hear that was a difficult question, we know. If you take the simplest one, we will tell you that no. You're running to the most simplest one. And who is ready? Limpopo. Do so.
Thank you, Chair. I think the most difficult is the issue of Limpopo failing to address issues of corruption in Bainbridge and Missionary Center. There was a circular that was issued, but provinces have no conscience and responsibility over ports of entry and refugee centers. I avoided to report on ports of entry and refugee centers to just make sure that there's no double reporting. It has happened that there was conflict on what I was doing as a province at the port of entry and what head of it was doing. However, Chair, if you need a report regarding the ports of entry and refugee centers, we can avail that through the relevant process. That was the most difficult. We do have that information. We can respond if required to do so. Regarding the issue of the Dabomo being built on land that is not owned by the service provider, I've never heard of something like that, because I took it upon the DPW to make it payback before it provides a contract to a service provider to build an office. And unfortunately, we can only interact with the service provider once the office is handed over to Home Affairs. But before it can be handed over, it's still a matter of contract between DPW and the service provider. Unfortunately, the municipality owns that the spent, and they decided that if the service provider is not going to comply, because that is not his land, he couldn't produce any documentation that he owns us, and they are going to demolish, and they demolish the office. Their plan now is, we have engaged it is a general problem when it comes to issues of property in Limpopo. We couldn't get the service provider for Seshego, for Mangwe, for Bokom, everywhere I was given land and we accepted through the National Gallery. But it's difficult. We don't know why DPW cannot get service provider to build us offices. Last week Saturday, Winifred was supposed to have visited Limpopo, especially the area in Sakho. We wanted to take him there to show him that stand. For some reason, unknown reason, DPW, Home Affairs and Municipality met and they identified an old municipality building where they can avail the office space to Home Affairs. That could have been done, because if you have saved us a lot of money, we have paid at a nominal rate, unlike a private person who pays a certain amount of rental. The third question that is difficult, yes, then I did have a director, and I have director finance. Is a male. Out of seven, five directors in Limpopo are female. And deputy directors as well is female and one deputy director. So we have really overreach when it comes to appointing female managers at the highest level. The problem is still between level 11 and level 10 and other levels, level 7. And again, the problem in Limpopo is about implementation when it comes to appointment of people with disabilities. Because I can demand a post for a person with disability at level 13. The problem is they don't meet the requirements. We are compelled to say we want a person with experience. And when I talk to people with disabilities, disabled people of South Africa, later they told me when we expect these people to get experience, because nobody is willing to give them an opportunity to get that experience. So unless these three tools are reviewed and we can be able to employ and meet our targets as outlined in the priorities of government, that should be assistance to us. And the deputy director for Bembe was doing his PhD. That was the work that I was getting for Home Affairs. He was finalizing his PhD in human rights. The idea of appointing him is because there's a refugee center in Bembe, and again there is Lucina. That's where people are having him. And if you get an expert for the department, in that area, I know that I will resolve a whole lot of the problems, not only for Limpopo, but for the whole person. However, I said only for the year, due to the challenges that we encountered on issues that we don't have enough resources, and there seems to be no solutions, and the power that we have as provinces, as managers, they are, he found them very weak. A person can beat up your manager here, you cannot suspend the student. Mm-hmm. All that you can do is to issue that audit. The worst penalty is final written warning. For a difficult action to happen, you have to refer the matter of head office to a director who will decide that you can charge this person. So there were other issues where cases we accepted someone. Our furniture was repossessed in Toyando. He had to sit on a basket for a month with the deputy director. It was repossessed. The sheriff was there. We could negotiate. He's legally qualified and legally qualified. But because I don't have those powers, are not delegated to the province. We tried to negotiate with the sheriff, but legal services had to go home just for a girl. So there are powers that are not delegated to the province that are really impacting us. And we know where we can place our resources, the hospital. Where we can set resources and make sure that we can render services. We can say to the department, why don't we have a relationship with the Department of Health to make sure that our staff is employed or supported by Department of Health, managed by Department of Health, but this person concentrates on our services. Departments do those arrangements. But in this case, if we keep on wanting to appoint our person, manage, that person is alone, no management, no resources. But if this person can put it in the structure of Department of Health, it will make it easier for us because all the relief from Department of Health is give us our services 24 hours. And they will have that person for a 24 hours.
Connectivity department has now explored bringing in on board telecom. Telecom is going to take over from Zika with regard to the issue of addressing IT connectivity in both hospitals and also the downtimes. Then path registration. We are in there's a memorandum of understanding which has been signed with the Department of Health. First, to deal with the issue of awareness, especially during the antenatal programs, encouraging mothers to register their children. And then the other issue is how then are we going to make sure that within the registration in hospital, we'll be piloting the removing the services of birth to hospitals. And when that is removed, then we'll also be taking capacity to then fully capacitate the hospitals, which means that birth registration will no longer at that time will then be a self, which is having a right at the hospital. And the other thing, on the left out numbers of children, so now, as a solution, we continuously engage health to check as to who are these people who have been discharged, then we follow them up with the addresses that could have been left. Now the last one is with regard to corruption. There has been quite a remarkable work that has been done with regard to corruption at Marabakar. 2014-15, 30 cases were reported to employee engagement. We finalized 20 and 14 of officials were dismissed, 2 suspended, 2 found, and then there were other cases that were still pending. And we also had another number of people that were suspended, others dismissed, also in 2014-15 from the very same Marabasa. And the report from Lawyers of Human Rights is on the table of the department. The department are engaging the Lawyers for Human Rights with the main aim of making sure that those issues that have been raised in that report are addressed. Now, the last one, banks. The bank now is a pilot. The bank now is a pilot. It's not yet open to the public. It's still testing the staff within the bank. So it's a net bank. They've got close to 8,000 employees. So it's now still a pilot. We need to see as to whether they are facing problems before we can open it over to the public and operation the normal operation hours of the banks from the 5th of August.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm sure that the questions that you've jotted down, all of us, I think, we have written. So we should expect responses on those questions in writing. And of course, is that maybe we should make a general request from the, what is the Fraud and Corruption Unit?
Counter-Corruption
Unit. If we can pursue the head office, including its provinces, to prepare a report for us. What is there that they are doing in the counter? And then where they have the problems, what have they done, and what is the progress up to now in terms of that? we are hearing those ones that they've been locked up in Eckerton Park and King William's Town. Those are just one out of the thousands of cases, I think, that are existing around. Let's get a call from that counter rapid unit. And then we take a decision whether we must call them to come down here. And then we speak to them on the basis of the report that they can give us. And then I think we can give them 14 days to put them to the, that report. And honorable members, I think we really press on time, and then would have loved to release Gauteng and Limpopo. And in the next 3 minutes or so, then we can get Eastern Cape, and then to talk to us. Then they will be followed by Hap Freestyle. And I think we had tea around 11, but the manner in which we were so committed to this, we may have forgotten that we have tea outside there, and I just hope that it is still hot. Anybody that's around here, you have got a right just to walk out and pick up whatever is out there and come back. You are not allowed to be hungry when the food is available. Then give them only
It's good.